Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, the postseason is upon us, and this year we're looking to shuffle up the deck. From what started out with a play-in tournament that needed some explaining, it might be a good idea, but after what we saw this year, it could definitely use some tweaking. Agent Zero has the answer. As for the playoff slate, we have a lot of love for the East coming. You know, Brooklyn stacked up, and the question is, who can actually give them a run? But while we're in the city, Mr. Anti-New York himself, Gilbert Arenas, has a take on Knicks fans that we apologize for in advance. But he actually has some surprising praise too, so you just have to stay tuned for that. Speaking of praise, the Lakers have all of the shine this year as usual, but it's Chris Paul and his work in Phoenix that deserves a salute. We have a ways to go of the postseason, so we set the table as things ramp up. It's a No Chill Podcast. If you're not already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, including the No Chill channel on YouTube. And don't forget, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's No Chill with Gilbert Arenas on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. It's the playoffs. It's postseason time.
Yes, sir.
So let's do it, Gil. Let's set the table.
All right.
It's a different year. You know, we came off the bubble last year. It's almost like we're back into it. We still don't have full arenas yet, but setting the table, looking who is in. In the East, you got Philly taking on the Wizards. You know, obviously that play-in game, we'll talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
You got Brooklyn and Boston. That's a nice matchup. Your guy Tatum, but also I like the point guards, Kyrie and Kemba.
Yeah, that's gonna be
a story.
Exciting. That's gonna be
Kyrie
exciting.
Going back at.
Yeah, that's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, obviously Kemba, New York guy, taking on Brooklyn, and you still got James and KD to deal with. Then you got Milwaukee and Miami.
Okay, boring. Okay, next.
Fair. and then you know somehow I'm the king of New York on this couch. So Knicks. Taking on the Hawks. Happy to see New York back in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, I know a bunch of New York fans around. They were very
You're coming
excited.
Around. You're They're coming very, around on the Knicks.
I have no problem with the Knicks. It was the Knicks fans that I have a problem
that
with.
That is documented.
Yeah, that's
But this
that's
team, right. they're new grit and grind.
That's the issue with the fans. This is not 1960, bro. This is basketball, you don't need grit and grind, okay? You don't need to keep your mind on grit and grind. You just
I tried to give you something to root for because I know you would like grit and grind. Yes, okay. Okay. Well, New York, you're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
Yes. Congrats.
Do you. So number one in the West, we got the Jazz, top dog, taking off the Grizzlies, hard fought series to get through that play-in. They worked their way up. That's the thing about the play-in, you really gotta grind it out to get a shot in the
Yeah, you know, the play-in game is a little different. A little more strategic than, you know, it should be, but it should be a nice little matchup.
Congratulations, you get the number one seed. Number two seed, we got Phoenix and LA. I love that a lot. I mean, the thing about the Lake, what?
Okay,
what?
Okay. I mean, love it a lot for who?
It's a two, you gotta like Phoenix this year. What they did, no one really, they were slept on and now look at them, they're number two seed. Lakers were up there, obviously injuries set them back. But you don't what? What?
If you're Phoenix, do you really want to play the Lakers the first round?
No, hell no. I'm talking about fans. Fans want to see
again.
What? Lakers.
If you're
LeBron
Phoenix,
take on his boy
do
Chris
you
Paul.
Think anyone in Phoenix, Arizona, or in Arizona, period, thinks they have a chance to actually beat the Lakers? Do you really believe the real number one team before they got hurt or drop some games, now everyone's healthy, and we got to actually face them in round one? You actually think anyone in Arizona believes that they're going to beat
You threw
the
out
Lakers.
Two questions there. The people in Phoenix and the whole state of Arizona, yes, they do believe in their Suns. They're going to. They haven't had a team to root for in 15 years. Okay, that's it. One question for that. Yes, they do believe. Just like the We Believe Warriors, you gotta believe. The other thing is, yeah, that does suck because this Lakers team, they're really a better than a 7 seed. You can admit that.
Okay, we're gonna just try this one again. We'll switch it. So if the Bucks was number 2 seed and the Nets was the number 7 seed.
I see where you're going
Do
with that.
You think the Bucks is happy about that matchup?
Thankfully, this okay. is apples and oranges here.
No, it's not apples and oranges because the real number 1 seed in the West is the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They got hurt and lost those games. Now everyone's back, which means they still are the number 1 team, no matter where they're seated. So if you're the number 2 seed, you don't want to play the actual number 1 seed first round. So no one is happy about this in Phoenix. You see how fat, you see how many games the Clippers drop just to dodge that bullet first round?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's not a very
So you're saying they're a fool's gold 2 seed?
Yeah, there's a
that's
it's
not
a, they're not the real 1 seed.
Hey, man.
I mean, they're not the number 2. There's
fans of Phoenix, gotta believe. Keep the faith, Phoenix.
Okay.
All right, but you
All right.
Okay. Okay. How about this one? This is another tough one. It goes the other way. At 3, you got Denver and the Blazers, but the thing with Denver is you don't have Jamal Murray, so
yeah, that's going to be a real interesting matchup, actually, because you don't have Murray, but you still have Joker. You still have a actual solid team. So it's just who can come out and execute. You know, this is one of those two matchups that whoever executes the best, like what style it is. If it's a half-court style, that is a battle because you have, you know, Joker, who's a half-court player. If the game is slower, he can dominate. On the other end, you have, you know, CJ and Dame, who are half-court players. So they can, you know, Army Swift, you know.
Swiss Army.
Swiss Army knife that can sit there and bleed you to death, you know, in a half-court. But, you know, Blazers also like playing full up and down. So if Blazers speed it up, it's more of a swing their way.
Denver, we know they're super deep, but without Jamal Murray, that's tough. So both the 2 and the 7 and the 3 and the 6,
they
look better.
That's what I said. It's one of those where you're like, I wouldn't want to be.
I agree with you on that. I get it.
I don't feel too confident. Mm-hmm,
I'm saying Phoenix is nice, though. I'm still just going to stick with that.
All right.
Just tough, I mean, tough taking on the 7.
You're still talking about, I mean, this was the team that was in the bubble that really just, it wasn't really good.
Phoenix?
They were in the bubble last year.
Mm, okay. They were, yeah.
Yeah. They were in a bubble.
That was last year.
They won 8 games.
That was last year.
And
speaking of last year,
playoffs.
The Clippers were better in the bubble, right? Now they're the 4, taking on number 5 seeded Dallas. Are they the team people are sleeping on? No one's talking about the Clippers.
Because they're not.
Or are we done? Are we just done with them?
Come on. Like, really?
I'm trying.
There wasn't a threat last year, as I said, from the beginning. And then you lose, you know. Okay, besides Clipper fans, I mean, if they win one game, it's like a championship to them. So that's like talking to a wall when you're talking to an actual Clipper fan. But in reality, you lose both your top scorers off the bench. The reason you had the number one bench, you know, in last year's season. The reason that when your starters got killed and they put the bench players in and then they made the comeback. The reason you could do that, both those players are off that team. Mm-hmm. In a 7-game series, you didn't need last year your 2 stars to be dominant every single game, right? Now you need both those players to actually be able to compete. 4 games, 7 games. They have to come. If one is done, if one is having a bad game, your chances are damn near none.
You know what they need to be? Exactly what Russell and Brad figured out.
But that group is, they barely made it.
Barely made it, but they turned it on late. And that's the thing.
They barely
made
it.
If you guys can just tap into those two, they really got to carry the team and go for 70 combined.
70 combined. That's just to compete. That's what I said. When it comes to playoffs, when they come to playoffs, this team is, they don't have enough scoring power at this point. And they don't play defense that great to, you know, lock down anyone.
So I guess what we're saying is the West is up in the air.
That's what you said. Is that what you said?
You're saying the better seeded teams are really not good.
I'm basically telling you the number one.
You're saying watch out for the low seeded teams. No, I'm saying
the real number one seed, their first round matchup is against Phoenix Suns. Yay! Their second matchup is against a nobody too. Yay! You know, like they get to walk to the championship again.
Well, there's so much that when the playoffs start, all these teams, but eventually after a series, the thing, the repetition that you get against each other in matchups, it really doesn't kick into the later rounds that you see who's...
I mean, you're still talking about a team that won last year, then you still have a guy who understands the game. So trying to outsmart him for seven games... or for four games in a seven-game series, that's not easy.
Talking about LeBron?
LeBron. So it's like, I don't think they cared where they seeded. You still have to beat them four games, no matter what.
Health-wise, though, not 100%.
Says who?
Him, actually.
Yeah. I mean, how does he look?
Not 100%. I'll also say no one's 100% at the end of the season. So that's okay.
I didn't want to say it.
And again, also, I know. I mean, don't bet against that dude. Really. Really. And like you said, smartest guy, you know, in the game. But taking on a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the smartest guys in the game. So we'll see. I'm going to go for the East on this episode. But anyways, before we get into who's, like, the storylines, expectations, where we're going with this, the main story, I feel like, out of the postseason is the play-in tournament. That pretty much stole the show this year.
Yeah. I don't agree with the method.
I guess it snuck up on people, and LeBron said it, you know, closer to when the Lakers were actually in it, that whoever came up with it was some bullshit and it should be fired. And then I think everyone said, yeah, actually, hold on. How does this thing work?
No, fans just want to, you know, they just want to see games, right? But this all started because I forgot what year, probably two or three years ago, two teams, eighth and ninth, were actually tied.
Yeah, that was Nuggets, Timberwolves.
So they were tied games and points. You know, so usually, you know, if you guys are tied, it usually goes by who won
and
by more.
And they played each other in the last game of the season.
Yes. So it was tied exactly even across the board. So therefore, there wasn't an actual eighth seed.
But when they played each other, that was cool.
Yeah.
Win or go home.
No, so that means now you actually have to have a play-in game. Because you got to remember, if you go by who has the most wins against each other, 2-2. Okay. Next is who has the most points? Tied. Mm. There was never a third option. You know what I mean? So now it's like, okay, we have to play. We have to have an actual play-in game. It got so many ratings that they've tried to duplicate this.
Not a bad idea.
In theory, no. But this message, this method, yes, it's not. It doesn't make sense for everyone who's participating in this.
Okay, so how it's supposed to work, we're saying, is take the lower ranked teams, make them fight it out for
the last spot. Their method is, what is their method now?
So you take the 7, 8, 9, 10 teams.
So 7, 8 plays against each other.
Mm-hmm.
9, 10 plays against each other. Mm-hmm. The winner plays.
Play the 10, the 8 should play the 9. That's how brackets work. Why should the 7 and the 8 play each other if they're the better teams?
Okay, all of that sounds amazing, right? No matter how you look at it. But at the end of the day, if you ever look through history at the 7th spot, right? My issue is with that 7th spot. If you're 7th, that means it took you 82 games this year, 72 games, to actually seal the 7th spot. Now, from 7 to 8, you're going to usually have about 3 to 4 games separation. from 7 to 9 and 10, there's an damn near 9 to a 15 game gap, right? So if a team this year, let's say San Antonio Spurs, let's say San Antonio Spurs won their game, right? And let's say the Lakers lost. And then now the Spurs and the Lakers played each other. You gotta remember, this is just a one game.
Anything can happen.
And let's say the Spurs won. Now the Spurs are in. How is that better basketball? You have the Lakers who are 9 games better. That means you have a team that's 9 games worst in the playoffs facing a number one seed or a number two. Like, you're taking teams out that have better records to push worse teams in. Why are teams with losing records, losing mentalities, getting another shot in a one game hit?
That's the question. Why are we rewarding losing?
That's what I said. You're rewarding someone who for 82 this year, 72 games, did not care enough to actually compete. So my thing is, all right, what is the benefits for everyone, right? What is the benefits for everyone? So where is the reward versus risk on the 7th seed? If you're in the 8th seed and they say, all right, give up your 8th seed to go to the 7th seed, would you do it? 100% yes. 100% yes. 9 and 10, 100% yes. We get to fight each other, and if not, and whoever wins, we get a shot at the 8th seed? Of course. We're not in the playoffs. Of course we will accept this. We have nothing to lose. 9th and 10th, you have nothing to lose. So you're willing to play this game. I win one game to advance for one more game to play in the playoffs. Of course. 8th seed? Of course. I get one shot to take the 7th seed. No matter how many wins he's in front of me, I get to take that fucking shot. If I lose, I battle against some weak-ass team from 9th and 10th for my spot back. Why wouldn't you do that? So for the 7th seed, why?
For the 7th seed, what you're saying, all this comes back full circle. 7th seed doesn't really have anything to gain from it.
There's nothing to gain, so why
even? So what you're making the battle for is the 8th seed. And I think people are cool with that.
It should be a battle for the 8th seed. It should be 7th seed. Listen, you're safe. 8th seed, you're the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. All right? You're the 8th seed. What we do is 9th and 10th, battle. You guys battle. Right? Battle the winner, 3-game series against the 8th seed. In battle, winner is 8th spot.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit. Think of that gladiator style. You lower warriors fight each other just for the chance to play the top dog, the number one seed. We know you're not as good of a team, so you go through all this just to play us, just to lose. You good with that?
You're the 8th seed. What the doesn't matter. You gotta remember, you're playing the juggernauts anyway. Mm-hmm. You're playing the juggernauts anyway. So if you're gonna have a play-in game style, it should be with the last spot.
Just to get your head cut off.
Yeah, just with the last spot. But the fact that you're actually you're rewarding losing. Mm-hmm. You're rewarding the losing mentality. Because me, if I'm a guy who's playing chess, right? And this is about chess in the future. Let's say I'm the Lakers, right? And we're healthy. We are the returning champs. We are healthy. We don't care about anybody in this playoffs, all right? Why wouldn't I just tank to the 9th and 10th spot?
It's more work to go 9 and 10 to move up.
Nah, you still play. What I'm saying is, think about it. If I'm the Lakers, I am the juggernaut, right? I am. I'm the defending champs. I'm confident that we're going to sweep through. We do not care who we're playing because we've been hurt. Now we got healthy at the right time. I dropped some games on purpose. position myself, right? Get the ninth spot, beat them, get the eighth spot, beat them. Now we're in the eighth spot, mm-hmm. right?
That's risky, though. Right? A lot can go wrong.
Risky. A lot can go wrong. Yeah, sure. A lot can go wrong in the playoffs anyway, mm-hmm. right? Now I'm playing against the Jazz. You think LeBron, AD, Anthony Davis, and that team is afraid of the Jazz?
But okay.
Are they afraid of the
you're
Jazz?
Saying, probably not.
No, but okay.
What you're saying, if you are that good of a team, say mm-hmm. you're the best team.
You're the best team.
Why start messing with success?
No, because you got to remember, you've already, because of the losing this year, you've already put yourself in a position to capitalize.
But you're saying you're losing, it's not because you're not a good team, it's because of injuries.
Yeah, injuries. So
weird year.
So these last 10 games that it really doesn't matter to you, me, I would have personally lost. I would have tanked to the ninth spot. Got the eighth spot.
But then
say one game.
But if in the tanking process, say the 11th seed gets hot and then they move up to eight.
But that's what I'm saying. You're smart enough to understand how tanking goes.
So
that's why I didn't say 10th spot. I said 9th.
I think when you're a good team, you play to win.
You got to remember, if you're the 9th seed and the 11th seed moves up, you're the 10th seed. So that's why I stopped it at 9th and didn't say 10th. Mm. Okay, so the 9th seed. So worst case scenario, you're 10th, but you're going for the 9th. You get to the playoffs, you play Jazz, right? Play Jazz. You're not afraid of Jazz. Beat through them. Second team, you play Clippers, or if they even make it, beat through them. Now you're in the Eastern Conference Final. Now you're in the championship.
Technically, right? You're not afraid of anybody if you're a good team.
Yes, of course. So now you're in a championship. Right? Win or lose. What gets to happen is this. When the summer comes up, and those ping pong balls start to fly, this Laker team that just went to the championship can possibly get a top five pick. That means if they get fucking lucky and get a number one pick, number two pick, number three pick, that Laker team this summer could have added a Mobley. Jalen Green sucks. You see where? Because at the end of the day, if your record at the end of the season is not in the top eight, you're a lottery. 9, 10, 11, 12, that's a lottery. You're automatically in the lottery. So I would have been at that point in the season, there's 12 games left, and we're sitting here in this little entanglement, trying to figure out what we're doing.
I don't think that's the definition of entanglement.
We're playing, we're doing this. It's confusion. It's all confusion up there. I would have just lost games just for... You got to remember, you got to be a certain amount of... It's like you're the San Antonio Spurs and you had a whole horrible year the year before. You get Tim Duncan and fucking you guys are champions. You know what I mean? A team that didn't... that shouldn't have had that guy got him. That could possibly happen. That's what I would have did.
That's your fix.
That's what I'm saying. It just promotes losing. This method doesn't promote. It doesn't promote winning. Because you got to remember, anywhere from 1 to 10. You got to remember, from 7 to 10. That's an 11 to 15 game gap. So if that gap's that big, why are you rewarding it? Why are you rewarding losing?
I think if you look in the East, it's tighter, 7, 8, 9, 10.
9, 10 what? Wins?
In the East.
Yeah.
The West, it's a weird scenario because you have the Lakers that fell off because of injuries and whatnot.
But even though 7 to 10 is still 9 games, 7 games in a season that was only 72 games. So that's how big the gap is. That's how big, that's how sorry 10th is from 7. So why even give this chance, this loser, a chance to even...
So what we're saying is leave 7 alone. The weaker teams fight for that A spot.
If you want this little gladiator match.
Yeah.
If you want a little gladiator match, or have 9th and 10th have a 3-game series with 9th and 10th, 1 game against the 8th spot. Okay. Fine if you want to do that, but at the end of the day, what is the benefit?
more games.
Cool. Well, I like have a loser's fucking bracket.
Yeah.
Hey, have the guys you counted down since All-Star break that you wanted to go home. Have a loser's bracket. Cause if I'm seventh spot, I earned this. I did 82 game season. Mm-hmm. Here, this is your spot. Yay! Then it's like, okay, you have one more game against someone below you who wasn't good enough to take your spot. They get another shot at it. And I, wait, what? Yeah, I know you beat up on them and they're below you, but we're going to give them one more chance to see if they can beat you up. Like, why would I do that?
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So we're saying they tried it this year. It can be better. Got to start somewhere.
They tried it this year. I mean, it just doesn't make sense for the people who actually got their position. Because if you pull this trick on anything else in this world, no one's accepting it. No one's accepting it. If there was a finalist and we're taking, all right, you're going to work for Microsoft, the 10 best coders out of, 45, you guys have $1 million contract. Okay. You're all right. Right? You guys been working months and months and months to crack and you make the top eight. They give you $1 million check. And they say, all right, wait, hold on. We're going to have, we're going to have a code off. Me like, okay, with who? Number one, number two, who? No. A few people who didn't make it. It wasn't really good enough. we're gonna have a cold off, and you have to put your money up to have a cold off against them. And then you're like, what are they putting up? Well, they don't have any money. They didn't win shit. They're out of it. They're fighting for your money again. You're like, why would the f- I would do that? I don't f- you.
don't reward the flunky.
Yeah, you don't have no fucking money to bring to the table. I'm like, get the f- out of here. I'm not compete with you for $1 million. Give my check up one back home, but I'll see you guys tomorrow. Like, that's, everyone's gonna do that. No one's gonna play in this little fucking fantasy warlock game they're trying to do.
Most likely not.
Like somebody at the top, like, all right, I wanna see 7 and 8 battle it out, 9 and 10 battle it out, and then the winners of those twos battle it out, and then let's start the playoffs. Yeah. Like, motherfucker, we're tired.
I'm gonna say we lose our energy a little bit too. All right, so we got that all figured out. It was a good idea. A for effort this year. It'll take some work to do for to make it a thing going forward. But all right, we set the table. Here we are. Expectations this year. Let's get to basketball. And I'm going to rewind things back, Gil.
Mm-hmm.
On this show, somebody said they were going to take Brooklyn to run the table this year.
That was you?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that. Okay, I remember that.
All right, so
we're patting ourselves on backs now.
I mean,
okay.
Here we are.
Kudos to you.
Here we are. They still got to go through. You know, each round. But you know, I'm just going to reiterate.
But that was before the trades.
Yep.
So that's before you got
James
Harden.
I was even more on the limb.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it was before James Harden. So you
and Blake.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got a little blue chew in there.
I mean,
it was just a little booster. Okay, I get you.
I mean, what do you think now? Are they for real?
Yeah. I mean, even though they haven't really played with each other, but you know, that type of offense, that type of greatness is, you know, you can go on the fly, and still have a better chance to win than teams that don't have talent. You know, since they are all friends, you know, off the court, it makes for easier situations on the court. So, you know, no one's going to really be mad that they didn't get the ball as much, and the numbers really don't matter at that point. So it'll be easier for on-court problems to be solved.
But now they're in a series, though, where, you know, your same opponent, things get repeated. So how do they sort out who does what? Will they have to give something up, James and Kyrie?
No, they just, you know, you just like with when KD was with, you know,
Golden State.
You know, you understand runs, you understand the hot man, you understand the person we need to get going, we understand the person who has the mismatch, you know, and when we spot it, we attack it until they adapt. They adapt, we go another route, see if we can come back to it, you know. You know, You're talking about guys that wanted to be together. This wasn't something that was forced, you know? So they wanted to be together, so they know, you know, sacrifices have to be made. Egos had to be put aside for the greater good.
So is it just that easy? Just cakewalk all the way through?
No, it's never that easy.
Everyone really is crying in Brooklyn right now.
It's never that easy, because if it was that easy, a lot of teams put together like this would have won. But
there aren't a lot of teams put together like this, though.
No, not like this, but in history, when you're saying teams being put together, you know, the thing that stops it is the egos, you know, stats, merits. But, you know, here's that, you know, these guys have won MVP, guys got championships, individual stats, and now, you know, they're just trying to, you know, just win together. So the hardest part of the Brooklyn Nets is actually done already.
Just that they're together.
That we're together and we understand that there's only one goal here. We've all done what we need to do as individuals. Let's try to win.
Okay, so I said, are they for real? Expectations for them. Can you say it's a legit championship opportunity for Brooklyn?
Yes.
Parade in Brooklyn? Parade on Flatbush?
No, you said opportunity. You didn't say actually guaranteed.
I'm baiting you. See if you go.
You didn't say they will be in championship.
Best in the East, mm-hmm. right? Okay. How about Philly though? I feel like everyone's sleeping on Philly. Embiid really, I mean, MVP season, I don't know if it'll work out that way for him. So, I mean, yeah, it's coming down to Jokic and Steph, but really what he's done this year, basically the best, I'm going to say the best season of his career. The main thing for him, stay healthy. But his production up at 28 a game, what, 11 boards a game, making shots.
Who's the second best player on the team?
Ben Simmons.
And who's the third best player?
Tobias Harris. In my opinion. And then that is the X factor. And it's not just Joel in the playoffs. It's the team around him. Mm-hmm. And then we looked at Brooklyn, like, man, I don't know if
that's... So who's your second best player again?
I said Ben Simmons.
And your third best. I'm just third best? Okay, so one guy has his third best is either James Harden or Kyrie. And the second best is either James Harden or Kyrie.
So the worst thing that could happen in Brooklyn is they just feud and they implode.
No, the one thing that's going to happen to... No, the one thing that'll happen to Philly is this. Is your alpha the type of guy that demands greatness? Or do you have an alpha that does just good enough for you to say he did his part? That's always my thing with Joel. Last year, I predicted a sweep. Ben Simmons out. Mm-hmm. Does he have the mindset to say, for us to win this series, I have to score 39 and 20 a game. I have to do that. One star is out. I have to double my output. Is he willing? Was he willing to do that? I said no. I figured 28, 29, 30, 12. Yeah, you're gonna look good. You're gonna lose by 10, okay. You're gonna lose by 8. You're gonna have a close game, end up losing. With that type of team, where that is your second star and your third star compared to everybody else's seconds and third, you're gonna have to do more.
All right, let's take a break to talk about our good friends at Athletic Greens. Today's episode of No Chill is brought to you by Athletic Greens, the most comprehensive daily nutritional beverage you can try. Believe me, I know, because I've noticed we're getting back out there. Part of getting back out there is getting in shape. We want to be active. Part of being active is getting our nutrition on point. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise stress, or simply not eating enough of the right foods. This is where Athletic Greens can help. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is your nutritional essential. It is by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your health routine today and empower you to take ownership of your health. And that's exactly what I did. We get samples here at No Chill. We got the whole setup from Athletic Greens. And simply, it makes it easy. You get your container, you add your water, you get your scoop of Athletic Greens, shake it up, and take it while you work out. That's the best way to get your nutrition, or pre-workout, of course, and then work it into your routine. That's one tasty scoop of Athletic Greens, and it contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multi-mineral, probiotic green superfood blend, and more that all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, increase your energy and focus, aid with digestion, and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products. And that's what it's all about. And getting out there, we're gonna run out of time. We got so much to do, so much that we wanna do. You wanna make your nutrition simple. Athletic Greens is as simple as it gets. Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve this one holistic formula based on the latest research, producing 53 iterations over the last decade and counting. They invest in the most absorbable and natural source of each ingredient and go above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure their customers continue to receive the highest quality and best daily nutritional habit on the planet. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system as we head into the spring and summer months. So they're offering fans of the No Chill podcast a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. If you visit our link today, you'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again. So whether you're looking for a peak performance or better health, covering your bases with Athletic Greens makes investing in your energy, immunity, and gut health each day simple, tasty, and efficient. Simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and join health experts, athletes, and health conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health every single day. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/nochill and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today. All right, let's also talk about our friends at Babbel. You know, for most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point of our academic careers. I almost didn't make it out, but barely made it through. And I could tell you, learning a second language is increasingly valuable in the real world. Well, now thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches you bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. And that's what it is. When we talk about basketball, right, we talk about improving our skills. And one very practical, very reasonable and valuable skill is learning a language. Babbel makes it simple, and if you simplify it, you learn better. Like we said, start with the basics and then level up. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. So just like you listen to a podcast, it's in your ear, and wherever you are, there's your lesson. Babbel designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind. Things you'll get to use in everyday life. Other language apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has always been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. So right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to babbel.com and use the promo code NOCHILL. That's BABBEL.com with the code NOCHILL, 2 L's, for an extra 3 months free Babbel language for life. All right, and let's also talk about our good friends at HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get free pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. HelloFresh offers 25 plus recipes to choose from each week, from vegetarian meals to craft burgers and extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy with all recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. HelloFresh has fresh ingredients that are sourced directly from growers and delivered from the farm to your front door in under a week, contact-free, of course. And with HelloFresh, you get better value. HelloFresh is 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal without sacrificing on the quality. And that's exactly what it is. We want cooking to be easy. Take the guesswork out of it. Take the invention out of it. Follow something in place, and then you can maintain that healthy lifestyle everybody from an athlete to just a fan wants to experience. So for fans of the No Chill podcast, go to HelloFresh.com/NoChill12 and use the code NoChill12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/NoChill12. With that code, get 12 free meals, including free shipping. America's number one meal kit. That's right. It's HelloFresh.
So, Joel Embiid, in those games, has to put up 40 and 20, a 50 and 20 game, a 30 and 30 game. It has to be dominant games.
Is like it just, Murray is last it just year. Numbers, though?
Yes. Like
more,
Murray.
I think it's more than that. It's leadership.
No, what you I'm know, saying like is, like, saying he, but a leader understands what they have to do to get out of this series. Like Murray, how many games in that series against Utah last year did he have 50?
Right. I'm thinking Jimmy Butler last year.
But that's what I'm saying. But Jimmy Butler didn't need to like double his output. He just needed those guys.
He had one game, I think. Yeah.
He just needed those guys to believe that in themselves.
Right, right.
Well, Embiid, your mindset doesn't trigger this. You need to dominate. You're a dominant factor. That's why I said, you know, with Murray, how many 50 games did he have in just the one series? And he needed those 50s just to pull those wins out. That's what I'm saying. Will Embiid do that in these playoffs? Or will it just be one of those 28, 30s, and 12 type of games until
saying the other guys around him won't step up?
The other guys aren't real factors unless he is dominating. When you go in the playoffs, a superstar heightens his game.
Yeah, they ratchet up.
You're averaging 20, if you're averaging 28 and 12, 28 and 10, 31, 32 and 12, 31, 32 and 14. That should be your output in playoffs. Just you. Now, if you have to do more.
Your whole team has to do more.
Yes.
Because I'm also thinking that's the same, very similar in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
all this is around Giannis, and he's got his second best player. Who would you say is Holiday
or
Middleton?
But this again. But obviously, I've been preaching that they've been bad. They've been regular season good, and look at them now. Like you're not even talked about anymore.
Well, you're supposed to have gotten better. What changes too? Because it's not just one player's output, but what is a team doing that? It's like, you know, you're still the 2-3 seed. You're still technically better than, like we said, those lower ranked teams.
You believed in your own hype. You believed in what your record said. Instead of really saying, all right, yeah, we're lacking a lot of stuff. We need to make some actual moves. You are content with what your team looks like. Same thing over in Boston. You believe that you were championship good. Your players has gotten better. Your positioning, your record, has gotten worse. Because you didn't improve when you were supposed to. And when you were supposed to improve means, you were here. Well, let's add this piece and this piece and keep going. You just say, these guys get a little older, these guys get older, while other teams are getting better. So you're not adding to get better. You know, Marcus Smart's still there, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the time, you could have traded him with someone else and got a nice piece. Now, he's not worried. No one's going to give you anything good for him. So you're kind of stuck with a player like
well,
that.
Well, you know.
But that's what I'm saying.
Toronto was different a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Boston has that group that they had. You know, they still have Jalen and Jason, Kemba now. But what they didn't see was what happened in Brooklyn.
Even if
Brooklyn. Because then when you put that goon squad together,
It doesn't even matter about Brooklyn. You got to remember.
Well, Philly, I mean, they had a process, right?
Like, but that's what I'm saying. But cool, you were in.
That's a long build.
You were in front of Philly's process. Mm-hmm. You were beating Philly's process. You were beating. You were the team. And Cavs are done, right? Toronto's done, right? Then shouldn't you guys be on the top of the mountain cheering?
Yes, until somebody throws the whole thing off the mountain.
Philly lost Jimmy Butler. Philly lost J.J. Redick. But they still tried to get better. Boston didn't. Boston didn't try to get better because they thought what they had was gold. Like, you have to understand what's movable pieces. Mm. And I don't think, like, everyone assumes that they're smart. Right? Everyone seems, you assume, oh, you got this job, you must be a brilliant thinker. No, you can just look and see that person's not. You know, this person's looking at paperwork that has, you know, okay, I can put this, you know, this and this and this, okay, this engine. Like, no, these pieces have to be able to move without confliction. So if you don't know the game, then you don't know that guy likes the right block. And that guy also likes the right block. So the fact that both of them like the right block, conflict. It's useless because you put one on the other side, that's not his side. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a game here. That's his weak side. So now you got one in the strong side, one in the weak side. You're not.
The weak side's still weak.
I remember this is a long time ago, I said about the Lakers when they had Steve Nash. I said, well, the fact that Kobe plays one-on-one, Paul Gasol is a mid, you know, give him to the mid post, and you know, Steve Nash pick and rolls aren't used. What's the difference between him and Steve Blake at this point now?
And you're limiting.
Yeah, because people are like, well, back to back MVP. Yes.
Different system.
In his element. Mm-hmm. The element now is a corner shooter. You are putting this back to back MVP in the corner. So if that's what you're going to do, put a guy who understands that role and put him in the corner. That's, you know, just you got to be willing to understand roles. You got to understand, you know, like what piece is hot to go get another piece that's better. You know, and, you know, some of these guys hold on to pieces too long and they give up pieces too fast.
And what I think you're saying, though, is it's on Brad Stevens and his system. Can that system win in the playoffs?
Yes, but they don't have enough talent.
Okay.
It's they don't have enough
talent. Shorthanded this year because of Jaylen Brown, but.
But even with Jaylen Brown, are they championship ready? No, they're the same ready as they've been the last 4 years.
Yeah, I would say this. They are a nice team, but they don't really scare anybody. They scared people a few years ago.
Did they? Says who? The media. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't. Who did they scare? You remember when Bron was there and everybody's, oh, they're better than Bron, and they went out there and Bron beat their ass by 30, mm-hmm. and then they start saying, all right, we're good, and then lost the next 4 or 5 games. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. Like, you know, no, they didn't scare anybody.
Brooklyn team, they scare people.
That's called scary. You know, that's
like they're goon squad.
Now think about what I'm saying when I say you have to understand what you're lacking to improve. Brooklyn has Kevin Durant. Kyrie, right? They have LeVert.
They don't have LeVert.
No, they have LeVert. They have these pieces. And they realize, you know what? We still need to improve. Everyone loves LeVert. Everyone loves this guy. He's a star. Let's see if we can get somebody else for him. And you throw it out there, James Harden. And you pull a most people wouldn't have gotten rid of LeVert.
Harden's the exception. It was hard. He wanted out. That was a different situation.
But
they didn't pursue him.
You
pursued
them. You give up the right pieces to make it work.
Well, and KD wanted him there.
But don't. Who wouldn't want to have wanted Harden?
Right.
You don't think anybody was throwing pieces? No. You got to throw up a piece. You got to throw up pieces that you. It's you call it fool. Some you know. Sometimes it's fool's gold. You know, sometimes you got to be, okay, I'll let go of the young stallion. I might need him later on, but right now this is a whole nother mission. Mm-hmm. Sorry, young fella.
Win number.
Even though I need you more, you are so special, you're bringing me back gold. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till you turn into gold and see if I can get you back. But right now, you are giving me the goose egg. And, you know, so that's what you got to be looking for. People who, you know, willing to deal and make moves.
All right. Well, I'm saying I put that out preseason. It only got better. But in the West, we know you're a LA homer. Mm-hmm. We don't even have to talk about them. I don't know about the Clippers. No hope whatsoever.
Wait, what? Wait, what? Who? No, I mean like they're not even like two or three or
four. They're four. Right.
So why are we talking about
it? Just real quick, want to know.
Okay, what do you want to
know? No? Thumbs down?
Thumbs down. Do what?
Not going to happen. Go anywhere. Make it out of the first round. Make a run. Anything.
I mean, they have a possible chance to make it out of the first round. They're okay. Playing.
And that's it.
They're playing Dallas.
Yep. But then the three seed ahead of them.
I mean, they're playing Dallas.
Right.
I give Dallas some credit here.
Okay. Now we're talking.
That team is like, sorry. Luka is that good that he has that team at five. You know. Mm-hmm. Because I'm pretty sure you don't know half that team.
Porzingis, Hardaway, mm-hmm. Finney Smith. Mm-hmm. You don't like any of those guys.
I'm just saying.
That's a no.
I mean, just saying that you fit in the West.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The West, they got all the right cards are there. They're just got to be reshuffled a little bit. Right. So, Lakers are definitely better than a 7 seed. Blazers really are better than a 6 seed.
Yeah. So, you know, you have Clippers at the 4, get to play them. And then they have to play the Lakers.
We'll scoot those guys out of the way.
And they have to play the Lakers second round.
So can the Jazz win?
Win what?
The whole thing.
No.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Number one seed. I mean,
what's wrong with you? Now, why would you even do that to yourself?
I'm asking you the question. I'm not saying why would you I picked them. So? I already know.
There's only 22,000 people that actually believe that Jazz are good, and they're all sitting in Utah.
In Utah.
There's the guys who go to the games. That's it. That's it. That's the only people in the world that actually.
So they're one seed that is not going to last.
No.
We can script. So there's no way they win.
It's like.
I want on the record, your quote, no way they win.
The champ? No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry to those 22,000 people in Utah.
No.
Yep.
I like players on that team, mm-hmm. but as a team, they do not have enough power to dominate 7 games. Or 4 games. They don't have enough. Like, let's say if you double
Donovan.
If you double Donovan, who's going to carry you guys?
I know who wants to.
Ingles? Yeah, cool.
Jordan Clarkson.
Okay, Jordan Clarkson is...
A bucket getter.
Mm. That's not disciplined. Who can carry them? 30 points a game.
Well, first of all, I think he can carry it. Donovan can carry them. He's been seeing doubles for his whole career.
No, he hasn't. Hasn't been doubled.
But for the sake of what you're asking.
There's a reason that same team hasn't made it out of playoffs like that.
You know so what back mean? Because, to what your point is, they didn't get better.
No, people believe in their team success and don't understand that you still have to keep fine-tuning no mm-hmm. matter what. Like Lakers won a championship. And they've made aggressive moves last summer.
Yeah, well, changes happen, you know, so They made aggressive moves. Mm-hmm. They improved where they needed to. Guys came and went. I think the best change in the West was Phoenix, what they got with Chris Paul.
They just got Chris Paul.
Yep.
That's it. How's that?
I mean, they went from the outside of playoffs team that probably
Lakers got Schroeder. Who had the best summer? Lakers. You got six man of the year, right? Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. Marc Gasol. Mm-hmm. Schroeder. Right? That was your summer. Who got better than that?
In the West?
No one. So Brooklyn was number one. No, Brooklyn didn't even get anybody in the summer. So Lakers had the best summer.
Are we talking about the summer?
I'm just saying, Lakers had the best
summer.
At the
summertime, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you have the back-to-back champions making the most powerful moves. And you said Phoenix Suns what? Give me?
Chris Paul made them better. They had these young guys, Booker, elite level scorer, superstar in the making.
What is Chris Paul's gift?
Makes players around him better.
Okay,
I'll tell you, first of all,
that is horseshit. That is not an actual thing. You cannot make, let's say this again. Where's my camera? Right there. You cannot make someone else better. It is horseshit. Either they suck, right? And you're throwing a ball to someone who sucks, or they actually worked on their game themselves as individuals. And when you pass him the ball, he can now make shots. But if the Honda is a Honda, no matter what you do to the engine, it's a fucking Honda. Okay, so Chris Paul did not come there and made Booker better. Did he make Booker better?
Didn't need to.
He's not passing to Booker? Is he passing to Booker?
Booker can go get it for himself.
Does he pass it to Booker?
Booker can go get it for himself.
Does he pass it to Booker?
Yes.
Does he make Booker better?
He makes Booker.
No, he does not make Booker better. So he does not make anyone better. Either they're good or they're not. What he does is he helps people get easier shots that normally wouldn't get it for themselves, which doesn't make them better, which doesn't make them, it's fool's gold. It's a fool's gold, and that's why that type of team struggles. So Chris Paul is great at maximizing the talent he has around them. So he squeezes all of the lemon juice out of the lemon. He doesn't waste the peels. He's going to squeeze them peels out of the lemon. So if you look at any of his teams, mediocres look high level. But remember, they're still mediocre. Okay?
That's what you're really saying about them.
They're mediocre. Chris Paul is making them look a little bit better because they're playing harder. They're playing smarter. So instead of having 120 shots of how you guys played basketball, we're gonna have 90 shots of amazing basketball. So I'm gonna make sure that we're not taking the dumbest shots that you were taking before. We're gonna make sure every possession counts. You're not better. He's just not making you play bad basketball that you were used to. So instead of taking 15 dumb shots, you're taking 6 or 7 very high quality shots. That doesn't mean the team actually got better.
But what you just said about Steve Nash with the Lakers over Steve Blake, it's the opposite of that situation. So he did upgrade them at the point guard position, true or false?
At the point, yeah, he upgraded them.
Okay, right.
The point.
Mm-hmm. And then the players, like the Kid Bridges or Ayton, he gives them better looks that they couldn't get for themselves. Mm-hmm. Therefore, making them more valuable and more useful to the team. I'm not even going to say better. I'm choosing my words carefully.
Yeah.
Okay? More useful. Mm-hmm. Because that team before him, they had these guys as draft picks.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
They're become more useful and they're maximizing their talent. And he can score and create for himself.
But again,
and hit shots in the playoffs, which is what they're going to do.
But again, he still has a bunch of Hondas. Yeah, he can tweak the engines and make them look a little faster than they really are. You remember, was it Fast and Fury 2? When they were going against those two high-level cars, and we're going to play the little trick. We're going to jump in front of it and hit your engine at a certain time and hit the
boost. Yeah,
yeah, that's all he's doing. the cars still suck.
Cars suck, but you know, hey, man, if he gets you over the finish line first.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're going to go into playoffs, and you're going to get beat because you do not actually have the firepower to reflect your position. You know? So it's a double-edged sword for Chris Paul because the gift is I can get this team to look this good. And then when you play this good of opponents, he falls short. And everybody's like, see, he can't win. He can't do it. When reality is, he wasn't even supposed to be there in the first place. But his skill, his greatness got us to believe that they were that good. You know, and that's the bad part about being Chris Paul, is that you take these mediocre teams and you make them look high level. And when you have to play in the playoffs and you're losing, and everybody's like, he just can't do it. He can't. He was number two this year. Like, well, technically they should have been number nine, but yeah. He got him to number two. Mm-hmm. Let's just applaud that shit right there.
That's the gift and the curse. The gift is the talent and the ability to make the team more useful. But the curse
efficient,
is the
more
curse
efficient.
Is he's not giving him more we're efficient. Not giving him good team. Mm-hmm. But Booker.
Yeah, Booker's out. He just needs a couple more Bookers. You know, just needs a couple more Bookers and he's good.
All right. Well, I'm setting you up for this, and I don't know if you want to go to it right now, but who is actually the team that you like in the West? And maybe you could give me the one that you like before them. I think I know who that would be. And then,
all right, a team I like in the West?
Because we did say this, with Denver without Murray, you would say they're deep as hell.
They're deep as hell, but you know, you got a guy who
you can't
turns on.
Yeah, you can't
when he turns on, you can't, there's like certain type of guys on team that you can't replace. You know, like Dame. You can't replace that, I had a bad game tonight, I'm going to drop 60, then 60, or 55, then 50. You can't replace that type of engine, that type of mindset. So you lose a lot there. But, you know, obviously, Lakers, watching the Suns is going to be, you know, fun.
It'll be fun. Let's have fun. It's fun.
Blazers.
That's a sleeper team right there, I think. The way we're running through all these Western Conference teams and it's
To be honest, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't care about the West this year. Like, you know, the East is...
I think I talked you into the East.
The East is just fun. It seems like it's going to be...
It's more for you, it's more popcorn because you got a boner for New York and the Knicks are actually...
No. I got a boner for New York fans, not the team.
So you're either way.
You know, I just...
Either way, if they fall on their face, you'll be happy. If they are successful, you'll be very intrigued.
No. See, we're talking about two different things. Okay, so we're going to just put this out in the air so everyone knows. The inside joke is this. New York Knicks don't have an NBA rival because the rival is the New York Knicks fans. That's how that works. Like the only, they don't have, like when they go in an arena and you know, it's like Lakers versus the Clippers now, Lakers versus Boston. It's New York versus New York. It's New York versus the fans. So when they go in that building, it's like us versus us. Yeah, you know, you start 10-0, we're gonna be like cheering. You start 0-10, we're gonna be booing. Like that's their enemy. That's the only, New York fans, the only team they boo is New York Knicks. They don't boo anyone else. So I'm watching this series just for that shit show. just for that shit show. You know, you already know if they start off 0-5, you already know what's about to happen. So I really want to watch that series because if they start 10-0, You know, they start to get on a 10-0 run. I know how the fans going to be. It's going to be, let's go Knicks. But I also know what happens when it goes the other way. You know, so I just want to watch just the bipolarness in that crowd. Just the bipolarness in the crowd. And I really want to watch. I love watching, you know, I just love watching Tatum play. I want to really see Embiid. Like, I really
think we're seeing him unleashed now. You know, it sucks.
He's understanding his pace. He has his pace. He has his,
drops 50 in that game.
He
has
his swagger. He has, like, he has everything that he, like, he's into his own. You know, so just, you know, watching, you know, the East just seems like it's going to be more exciting this year. Than it will in the West.
Okay, so you're off the West. You're saying it's not, no one's coming out. Well,
I'm off.
No the, champions coming out of there. Someone's got to win.
Why you keep saying champion? I'm not watching the West because the West does not have any entertaining power to me right now because Utah not entertaining. Nuggets not entertaining. I mean, you know. Clippers, Mavs, we've seen that last year. You know, so we know that's going to be high scoring, you know, game. Lakers, Sun is going to be, come on, it's, you know, if Phoenix gets, if they get two games, okay. You play well, you know. But that ain't no seven-game series, you know, so that's not worth watching. You know, no. You know, I want to see Joel Embiid versus Russell Westbrook. Come on. There's going to be some... There's going to be some trash talking going
on there. Chin strap stuff right there, right?
Celtics versus Nets. That's going to be some high-level basketball. That is going to be amazing basketball. You have very skilled individuals in that series. You know, with Tatum and, you know, you got Tatum.
Kemba.
You know, versus, you know, Kyrie, James Harden. And KD, like, that's five players that can really put out a show. So that's going to be, like, that series to watch.
I think that series is for the pure hoopers out there.
That's for that's just hoops.
That's just straight up hoops.
We want to watch just nothing but pure skill and creativity. That's that. The worst game to watch would be Bucks versus Heat. Yeah, nobody want to watch that.
Okay? I like the Heat, though.
Nobody want
to
watch.
I like the Heat to make a run. I actually like both six seeds. The Heat to make a run. And
did you see
Portland
that series last year? Boring.
Boring series, yeah. Maybe, but the outcome.
Okay, I don't care about that. I'm just talking about just for visual. Like,
but the thing about the Heat, the leadership there, who you got like with Jimmy and Dragic, those guys just figure it out. They find a way.
See, I almost fell asleep just for you. Just like you just like was talking about it. Like it's just. I just feel sleepy. Like it's the Bucks in Miami. Like, you know, all right, Miami, you're gonna put four walls up for Giannis, and Giannis is gonna struggle trying to figure out what he's gonna do. Is gonna be cool. Okay, we've seen that story already. Okay. Now the Knicks and the
you're
Hawks.
You're not selling this thing.
Knicks
very
and
well.
The Hawks? Yes, yep. Baby. Yep. Like that's my number. Like that's my number two. Like that's why I said it's like you got the Knicks versus the Knicks fans, and then you got the Hawks. You got the Hawks as the middleman trying to figure out like whose side they're on. Like you know Trae Young. Like you know if you get hot, they're gonna cheer for you.
We're just here at the party.
like Trae Young. Trust me, that crowd. If you get hot, they're gonna cheer for you.
Very true.
Like that. So it's a home game for you if you're playing well. You know. I don't think they're smart enough yet to understand if we just boo the hell out of you, like this is fucking Apollo, and we just boo you, we can actually shake the shit out of the opposite team. I don't think they understand that power yet. You know, like when you go at Apollo and the guy's up there trying to do the little thing and you start booing, he doesn't work harder. He's like,
he just wants to get off the stage.
Okay, then Sandman comes out there, yanks you the fuck off. Like that's what you do as an opponent. You start yelling and yelling at these guys. They fucking shake on that bench. They shake on that bench. I remember the first time that I heard like "We hate you" boos. It was my first playoff series in Chicago. Regular season. Torching their ass. Oh, it was torture. beating this shit out of them. It was like so I'm going to this series cocky. Ha! Ha! We come into that arena. Like, you know, you see it, you hear it on TV, you know, it's, you know, Bulls, Michael Jordan, this and this. But to fill that shit up, like you can feel, soon, all right, welcoming the Bull, you know, the visiting Wizards, and just boo, like, yo, I've never heard a boo coming into this shit.
It's the pure anger, hatred.
Yeah,
kind.
It was just like, boo.
Probably a
little
drunk.
Can feel like, yo. I was 3-19. Every time I touch, boo, like, wait, what? Oh, we just went to lunch together. Were you talking booing me, bro? Like it was just one of those games where, like, there was no, you hit a shot and you got a couple of people, like, doing, no, it was, we hate you, boo. There's no, you have no friends in this crowd today.
That's the most important factor about this year is the presence of the crowd or not.
Yes, it's
so certain crowd. Teams. That's the other X factor here.
Will
players play better with a lesser crowd in the playoffs?
In sports, you have guys who will say Westbrook, right? Westbrook, Dame, that crowd does not matter to them, right?
Well, they want to kill the crowd.
No, they don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm doing what I'm doing, right? I'm doing the bookers. But then you have front runners where crowd scares them. 22,000 people scare them. You know, we call those practice players. In practice, the Kobe Bryants. Mm-hmm. In the games, Brian Kobe's. You don't know what that is. It's just somebody who made that. This is horrible. He's horrible. As soon as he get in, he starts freaking out. The light, the crowds, people cheering, but like. That player is useless, right? So when you take the crowd away, that practice player becomes good. And that's why they were making a comment. Like, man, half these dudes wouldn't even be playing like this if crowds was here. Because that's a real thing, that people get shook from crowds. People don't, they can't handle being booed. Some people Embiid embraces.
The villain.
He embraces that. He is a New York or a Philly type of player. Because he's the type that, boo me. Huh? I don't hear it loud enough. Like, he's one of those personalities that embraces all of it. It's all to him positive. You know what I mean? So you have a player like him where that don't even matter to him. But you got some players who just want to hear cheers. That's 60%. Mm-hmm. So
if you start booing
at that free throw line, you start really ragging on a guy, he starts missing shots, you're laughing, you're doing it more, trust me. You know how like Westbrook be in the crowd pointing, trying to get people kicked out? Yeah, that'd be hit. Like, let him play New York and everybody booing him. He'd be trying to kick 22,000 people out. You know what I mean? You know, and that's what a good crowd does. You're supposed to distract them. That's your job. Distract them so we can beat on them. You talk about his girlfriend cheating on him. Do that, please. 20,000 people, talk about him.
So I think all this sets up, someone's coming out of New York.
Nets is coming out of New York.
That's what we said, but I don't know. You keep referencing New York, the Garden and the Knicks. So that might be your backup.
Like to come.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna
come
do.
Come out of the.
Here's what I'm gonna do. Knicks win a championship this year. You will do what?
Wait, come here.
Put it out there. If like the New Knicks York, win this year, I will.
Come on, that's dumb, bro. You know they don't have that kind of talent on their team. Like, I mean, that crowd is powerful. They
have the grit and grind.
They don't even know. I got to remember, they don't even know their superpower yet. It's like one of those super guys who don't know their superpower. They don't know that their energy, if they pushed it towards the other team, that's actually a power. Mm-hmm. They don't know that yet. So this year is going to be a shit show, and I can't wait to watch it. I'm just going to be sitting there, and it's going to be Knicks versus Knicks. And I'm going to have I'm just going to be like, the Hawks is just the Hawks is the team that is scheduled to play. they're like the team that they're supposed to play, but it's just going to be Knicks versus Knicks, you know, home and away. You know, like when you go to, when they play in Atlanta, it's going to be Knicks versus the Knicks still. That's what this series is about, you know.
So what would you bet? We made a bet what? Preseason.
That who's coming out? I said
if the Knicks win a championship.
Who?
Knicks.
Stop. Just stop. That's not even there's no point to even saying.
If you're that confident.
If the Knicks win, listen.
You will be on a float in the parade.
Huh?
You will be on it. We'll have a no-chill float in the parade.
I'll wear, listen, I'll be in a float, New York Knicks float. I have season tickets. I wear booty shorts and boots.
I'm sorry, New York.
All right. Yeah. But, and then I'll have
New York. I love New York t-shirt.
I'll tat a big New York tattoo on my chest.
Okay.
I'm
just saying, I'm playing
with... I will wear booty shorts and boots.
Your camera's right
there. If they don't boo.
Your camera's right there.
If they don't boo in the playoffs, that's how confident I am about how this fan base acts.
If water is wet, they will boo in the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they can't help themselves.
All right. Well, I'm playing with house money because I was on Brooklyn early before everything.
Who do you have coming out of the West then? Yeah. Ha.
Lakers.
Oh, look at you, you f***ing bandwagon jumper.
Well, look at how things are set up. And that's what the point we made is, it's a watered down West right now. You said your one seed is not a true one seed. Two seed is very beatable. Three is depleted. Four, you said, doesn't even really deserve to be four, five, or six. The teams I like in the West.
Well, I mean, Clippers is good, but they're just not, they don't have the power that they had last year. It's just not, if it wasn't good enough last year, definitely not going to be good enough this year.
So really the two teams I think are the strongest and they are underdogs are the number six seed.
Lakers and Blazers.
Lakers and Blazers. And the number seven, yeah.
So I mean, don't get me wrong. Jazz is a solid, solid team. Like
not deep enough. Don't like, score enough.
Like they're solid. They're a solid team, not championship good.
Okay, so Brooklyn versus New York.
Brooklyn versus New York.
I'm sorry. Wait.
Wait. So Brooklyn, is that a possibility?
No, not possible.
Oh, wait, Brooklyn, that is possible. No, that's not possible.
Oh, it's definitely possible.
No, that's not possible. That's not possible.
If they don't, I mean,
No. Because Knicks, Boston. Okay, so even if Knicks got out of the first round, you would have wanted that in the second round.
Yeah.
And
they'd have to win in the conference finals.
Yeah. That's a shit show right there. Knicks fans versus Philly fans. Ah! I would have to go to that game.
Yeah.
I would want to go to that game.
Okay, so here we go. If the Knicks
if
the Knicks make it out the first round, you'll go to a game in the Garden.
No.
Philly, New York in the Garden. You would go to that.
No, I'm not after I already talked shit about the Garden. I'm not gonna go in the Garden. That's dumb. They booed the kiss cam. If you don't kiss the person next to you, they boo you. They've booed the halftime dancers. They booed the halftime performers. They're the only fans that's booed the national anthem singer. This is no thank you.
Okay, so
the only person that they haven't booed was
Spike Lee.
Spike Lee, that's it. Spike Lee.
So maybe go to the Philly.
Huh? When what's the name broke up with J-Lo? Ben Affleck? Ben Affleck, they boo him. We love J-Lo booing you.
They might be back together now. So.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to that building.
All right. So you basically have Brooklyn versus Lakers.
Yes.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have. So we agree?
Yes.
That's not fun.
We agreed that at the beginning of the season.
No, you laughed at Brooklyn. You said, who do I have? I said Brooklyn. You had the Lakers preseason. Go back, watch the episode.
Yeah, I laughed because they didn't have Harden.
And then we have Michael Cooper on, and we said, what's a good rivalry? And I said, Lakers versus Nets.
As a and rivalry. Said, that's not
be,
a rivalry.
That would be fun. That's what we want.
No, that's not. You know what the fucking rivalry is, bro?
Yeah, it's going to take years to build.
Yeah, that's not so. No.
It's okay. So, but I guarantee
like right now, NBA rivalry for the Lakers is the Clippers. It's just, that's their rival now.
But if they play each other in two or three finals, that's a rivalry. They'd have to make it there in the next two or three, so.
Was Golden State and Cleveland a rivalry?
For a minute, yeah. No, I'm going to say yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Draymond kicks LeBron in the balls. They was 3-1.
No one thought that of a rival.
Yeah.
We all knew the two teams that's going to be in championship, and no one ever said it was a rival.
When you're 73-9, and they beat you in the finals.
No one ever said
come
it was
back
a rivalry.
3-1. Richard still.
Does anyone say it's a real rivalry? Anyone said it was a real rivalry?
Rivalry can be for
no,
a minute.
No, it wasn't a rivalry. Sorry.
Who is your rival with the Wizards? Was it Cleveland for that minute?
Who was grab dribble LeBron?
Yeah. For a minute in the Eastern Conference in that era.
It was a rivalry because there was trash talking that went. There was a bunch of stuff that went along with it.
You don't think LeBron and AD would shit talk? No, okay.
That's not their game.
Kyrie's got something for LeBron.
Like Clippers.
In their history.
Like Clippers' rivalry before this was Golden State. That was a rivalry. You know. So.
Okay. All right, so right now, you're at East. I got you East Coast for at least
this year,
that could change in a week.
No, this year the East Coast matchups are entertaining. So if you, they're entertaining.
There you go.
They're entertaining.
It took the whole season to do it, but I got you to the East Coast.
No, just the East Coast.
You wouldn't even admitted that 8 months ago.
No, because the team's just shaking out. You got, you got Westbrook that gets to talk shit to Embiid, so that's gonna be a nice little. So
That's what we're here for.
Yeah,
we just want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
pay you money.
All right,
the fact that you would pay money to go see Suns and Lakers, pretty sure not.
We want it all. I just want.
I'm pretty sure you're not gonna be happy
with
watching that game. I'm just saying you're not gonna be happy. Like you're not gonna leave them like, oh my god, this is like the best game ever. You know, it's. You're gonna be like, oh, this is like a like Titans versus the Browns or the Redskins.
You don't know football.
You know, it's like, yeah, the score is 9 versus 6. It's like
we're just here to be entertained.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
That's what it I'm is. Sorry. No, we just want to see.
I don't want to watch that.
Good quality basketball.
I don't
modern
watch
era, that. Not the 80s style.
Hey, listen, people, listen. Go to the East. It's going to be more in tune.
There it is. This year it's the East.
The East. Gotta love the East.
Mm-hmm. Be entertained. New York, something special going in New York this year. And you might get there. You might get there in your booty shorts.
Dr. Jekyll and Hyde.
Strong
at your service.
That crowd, they're your kind of crowd, I think, at the end of the day. You said, what did you say, bipolar?
By the Bible, okay. Yeah, for sure.
Diagnosed.
Yeah.
All right, big words for the Big Apple. For Gilbert Arenas, This has been the playoff edition of No Chill. I'm Mike Botticello. Remember, you can catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.